Lindley was one of our children at Vacation Bible School that prayed to receive Christ as her Lord and Savior. And now, following in obedience to the Lord's command to follow through with believer's baptism, Lindley, we're so very proud of you. We know the angels are singing and rejoicing in heaven over your decision. Lindley, I ask everyone that enter into these waters as Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. And upon your profession of faith in him, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May we pray together. God, thank you for this day you have made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we're especially grateful for Lindley and her profession of faith and following through the waters of baptism. We pray you would bless this beautiful young lady, not only today, but all the days of her life, that she would grow in your likeness. Father, bless her family, that they too might encourage her and support her in her newfound faith. And Lord, may her baptism be a witness, an example for others who need to make the same commitment. We'll give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. We just commit this service to you in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. What a great way to start the service this morning. Amen. Amen. Well, if you're here visiting with us, thank you so much for joining us in worship. Those of you watching online, thank you for being here this morning. If you're a guest, there's a QR code in front of you. You'll just scan that so you get some information, get to know you a little bit better. And at the end of the service, there's a gift we have waiting for you right out here. But this morning, we've come to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. One more time. We're here to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen, church? Amen. So let's sing together.
Come all you weary, come all you thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more. Come all you sinners, come find his mercy. Come to the table, he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for.
All right, let me hear you. Take a few moments and greet somebody around you this morning. Let's sing this together. Here we go.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all.
About this morning. It's building our life on Him and Him solely. Let's sing this together.
Worthy of every
It reaches to the
Are you thankful for the blood this morning? Will you sing it out? Come on, it reaches
to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day. It will never lose.
Come on, one more time, church.
It will never lose its power.
Amen. Thank you for the blood. Amen. You may be seated, church.
How awesome it is to feel the power of the Holy Spirit in this place.
Amen.
And to know that through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven and we've been saved through His power and through His grace. I am humbled and honored to be here today. I pray that you are as well. It's so great to be with other believers and people longing to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and to sing praise and glory. An honor to the only one who's worthy to be praised. So we have come today to thank Him and to praise Him, to cry out to Him. Maybe you're here this morning, you feel led by the Holy Spirit to come to this altar and pray. Or if you're watching online, wherever you are, that can be your altar, your place of prayer. But if you feel led today to come kneel at this altar, or you may stand, from where you're sitting, and just lift up our prayers to the one who not only hears, but He answers according to His perfect will. And if you'd like to come pray with me today, I invite you to come do so. Won't you come pray with me this morning? May we pray. God, how great it is to be in your house, to sing praise to you, and to sing about the blood of Jesus Christ that covered our sin. Father, how could we ever repay you for what you've done for us? But may we strive to live each day in obedience to your word and to follow your commands, to follow in the steps of Jesus. Father, I pray for these folks that have gathered at the altar, people praying from their seats, people watching today on live stream, wherever they may be. I pray, God, that you would meet us where we are. Meet us in our pain. Meet us in our depression. Meet us in our addiction. Meet us in our grief. Father, we continue to lift up those grieving today. Our church has suffered many losses. We Pray, Father, for the Tyson and Broughton family and the loss of Don, that you would comfort them and strengthen them and give them peace. Father, we continue to pray for the Clark family and the loss of Dorsey, and ask that you would give them comfort and strength and peace. Father, I pray for Kurt and Marcia Cunningham and the loss of Kurt's mother, and ask that you would comfort them as they grieve and give them peace. Father, there are other folks here today just going through private pain that maybe no one else knows, but you know. And I pray, God, that you would bring healing and you would bring strength, and that your grace would be sufficient and your power would be made perfect in weakness. Lord, if there are folks here today that have never placed their faith and trust in you or watching, may today be the day of salvation for someone, for many. May they not put off another day of giving their heart and life to Jesus, because no one knows what will happen tomorrow. Our lives are a mist, a vapor that appear for a little while and then vanish. In the brevity of this life, may we get our houses in order, our spiritual houses, and bring revival and spiritual awakening. And Father, forgive me, forgive us of any sin that would hinder our prayers, hinder our walk. And may our country repent and turn back to you, for you are our only hope. We pray for revival. We pray for spiritual awakening and renewal. I just pray, oh God, that your Holy Spirit might continue to move through this service. You would sing and play through our musicians and instrumentalists, and you would speak through your word and through your servant, and speak to our hearts, God, that we might leave here today walking more closely with Jesus or forming a relationship with Christ. So, Father, we just love you and we thank you for what you're doing and for what you're still going to do. Bless our time of commitment at the end of the service, that people will be bold enough to take a stand for Jesus. For it is in his strong and holy and powerful name we pray. Amen. Again, we're so grateful that you're worshiping with us today, and I'm also very grateful that we have a time of prayer and that we have a time of praise, and I ask that you be in prayer for Sean and our choir musicians as they come to lead us in just a moment. But there's a beautiful passage of scripture that many of you probably have memorized. It's one that's been special to me through the years. It might be brand new to others, but it's a powerful text found in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. This is the word of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Lift your eyes to the King. Let his song
Thank you all again for that beautiful message and song, and thank you for being here today and allowing the Spirit of God to be in this place. I always like to share a little humor before I get started, and you know, it's really been hot this past week, hasn't it? It's been so hot. How hot is it? Okay, when I say that, it's really been hot this week. Well, it was so hot that it's too hot to make a chili dog. It's been really hot this week. I saw chickens that were laying some scrambled eggs on the sidewalk. It's really been hot this week. My car got overheated and I hadn't even started it yet. It's really been hot this week. That I saw a fire hydrant chasing a dog down the street. Okay, that's enough. I should have stopped when I was behind. You know, it's great that we can come together and worship, and many of us are here today, and we are in Christ. What does it mean when someone is in Christ? Well, that means we're Christians. When we are in Christ, that means that we have acknowledged that we're sinners, that we've asked Jesus to forgive us of our sins, and we've invited him to come into our hearts to be our Lord and Savior and to walk in obedience to his word on a daily basis, and we have faith. There's been a passage of scripture that's been near and dear to mine and Kelly's hearts. For those of you all who have been here for any amount of time, you remember me sharing that when we were building this church, that on this concrete platform, we wrote scriptures all over the church. Our church family did. Kelly and I wrote on this concrete floor underneath this hardwood, Hebrews 11:6, which says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." I want to tell you today, it's impossible to please God without faith. We all need faith, but it's possible that you're here today and your faith is waning, or your faith is not what it should be. And many times the reason people do not have as strong a faith as they should is because they're hurting. They're going through a trial. It's possible you're hearing your faith is being challenged or tested today. Now think about what James wrote in James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, when he said, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and that perseverance must finish its work, so that you will become mature, not lacking anything." And so it's possible you're here today and your faith is being tested or challenged. You said, "In what way?" Well, maybe your faith is being tested through a health issue. Some of you are in pain today and you say, "Yeah, amen to that." I can tell you, my faith is being tested or challenged today. Some of you are here today and you've lost a loved one and your faith is being tested. You're asking why, and "I wasn't ready to give up my loved one." Your faith is being tested. Some of you are here today and your faith is being tested through a relationship struggle. Might be a spouse, it might be a coworker, might be a family member. You say, "I don't know how much more I can take this, but my faith is being tested." Maybe your faith is being tested through a financial situation. You're struggling right now, don't know how you're going to pay the bills, don't know how you're going to get through this season that you're going through, and your faith is being tested. Maybe you're here and your faith is being tested because you're battling an addiction. Your family has tried to help you. You've tried to go to rehab, but you keep falling off the wagon and you keep dealing with the same issue over and over, and you're doubting your faith is being tested. Your faith is being challenged. And you're here, and maybe you say, you know what? Everything is great. My things couldn't be sweeter. I'm just so grateful that things are going well in my life. If that's the case, praise the Lord. I'm happy for you. And I don't want to be Debbie Downer here, but if you're not being tested in your faith, you're going to be. I hate to tell you, your faith will be tested. But that's what separates the lukewarm Christians from the committed Christians. The lukewarm Christians, when trouble comes, they go away. But when trouble comes, the committed Christians, that's when we dig in with God's help. We get over it and we get through it. And that's the testimony to a watching world of what our faith stands for, to be a follower of Christ. In our scripture today, we see Solomon writing in Proverbs. Solomon, as you all have heard me share, other than Jesus Christ, I believe, was the wisest person ever to live. You know why Solomon was so wise? When he was called to be king of Israel, he asked God for wisdom to lead and to govern his people. And God gave him that wisdom. And he spoke 3,000 proverbs during his reign. That's what the scriptures tell us. These proverbs are wise instructions and of wisdom of how to live a godly life. How many of y'all here today want to live a godly life? I pray we all would want to live a godly life. I'm not joking when I say this life passes by so quickly. And then at the end, the only thing that really matters is not how much money we've made, what kind of car we're driving, how big our house is, how big our bank account is, how many friends we have, what we've put in our investment. The only thing that really matters is that we have faith in Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that we can take to eternity. That's the only thing that really matters. And so many people miss that. They miss that, that Christ is the most important thing. And in our scripture passage today, Solomon gives these two verses that I can't tell you how many times through the years they've ministered to me, spoken to my heart. And I pray they will to you today. And if you're going through what Henry Blackaby said in Experiencing God, a crisis of belief, if you're going through a time where your faith is being challenged or tested, then this scripture's for you. Or even if things couldn't be greater or sweeter, this is still for you today. But the first thing is we must trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. But what does it mean to trust in the Lord with all of our heart? Well, I believe it means to have faith and to commit our lives to Him. We read in Psalm 37:5 that we are to commit our ways to the Lord and trust in Him, and He will do this. To commit means to give fully, surrendering our all to the one who gave His all to you and to me. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3, Solomon wrote, "Commit whatever you do to the Lord, and He will make your plans succeed." So we know we are to commit, to trust in, to fully give over to the Lord. But if we haven't surrendered to the Lord, then don't expect Him to bless your life. You don't understand why you're not being blessed. You don't understand why things are happening as they are. Even when we're Christians, it does not exempt us from hardship. Jesus told His disciples and us in John 16:33, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world." So we know we're going to have trouble and face hardship, but we are to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Now, if you look in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 8, David told his son Solomon to worship or to serve his God, the God of his father, with wholehearted devotion. How many of us are guilty of giving God part of our hearts, half-hearted devotion, but we haven't fully given Him our all and given Him our best? I think there are too many casual Christians when we need more sold-out Christians. We need people that are fully surrendered to Him, saying, God, I'm all yours. Have your way in my life, and I want to make a difference for you and serve you. And we must trust in Him. Now, I've shared with you all, when I was a youth, we'd go on youth retreats, youth camps, and almost every time we would go, and y'all have heard me share it, we'd play the trust game. Y'all remember that? The trust game is where you would just put your arms out and someone would be behind you, and you would just fall into their arms. Can I have a volunteer who wants to play? Nobody, Kelly? Jim, thank you. Jim Wood, I know. But I remember people dropping me. You know, they thought it was funny. I fell back and then boom, boom, boom on the floor. And I said, that's not funny. But what were we doing? We were saying, I trust you. I'm falling in your arms. When we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, basically we're saying, my life is in your hands. I fall into your arms. And guess what? The Lord has never dropped me or failed me yet. I failed Him. I've dropped Him, not intentionally, but many times I have dropped my end of the deal, but He's never dropped me or failed me, and I guarantee He hadn't you either. But then you've heard me say that we're guilty of yo-yo faith. What is that? Well, that's where we give something to the Lord, and then we take it back. We give it to the Lord, take it back. Give it over to the Lord, bring it back. We go around the world, and and yet we keep giving it to Him, then we keep taking it back. It wasn't until recently that I felt like I had finally given something over to the Lord. You know how I knew and how you'll know? When you stop thinking about the situation or certain people over and over, and you keep praying for them and praying for the situation, when you finally don't feel the need to have to do that, then you've finally given it over to the Lord. When they're finally not constantly on your heart and mind, when the situation isn't constantly weighing down, then praise the Lord, you've given it over to the Lord. That's trusting in the Lord. And that's what some of you all need to do. It's what we all need to do today. Is we need to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. The second part of this verse says, and lean not on your own understanding. Dr. David Jeremiah, who is a pastor and an author, he shared in talking about this particular verse, but he said, when we say to lean not on our own understanding, he said, when we develop that mindset of life and of truth, then we are disregarding God's will when we try to do it on our own strength, when we try to do it on our own understanding. There's so many things we don't understand in this world, so many things that don't make sense. It doesn't make sense when we see precious children that get sick or battle terminal diseases. I said, if you ever want to have a reality check, go visit a children's hospital. When you see these precious children with shaved heads taking treatments and wheeling down the hall, that's a reality check of what so many go. It's hard for us to understand why crazed gunmen go into churches or into schools with the gun and take lives. It doesn't make sense. Or people that go into a mall and do the same thing. We have trouble understanding these things. I have trouble hearing some of the stuff that's going on in the world today, and what used to be wrong is now right, and what used to be right now seems wrong. I have trouble comprehending a lot of these things. But one thing I know is one day we will know and understand. But it may not be until we get on the other side of heaven. There's a beautiful passage out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Paul wrote it was the love chapter. And at the very end, in verse 12, Paul said, "Now we see, but as a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I only know in part, but one day I'll know in full, even as I'm fully known." Now, when it's talking about a mirror, the mirrors then were probably a polished piece of silver that you could see a dim reflection. I often like to describe it as looking into a pond or a lake or a body of water, you know, where you can see your reflection. But then if someone throws a stick or a rock in there, it distorts the picture. You can make out the outlines, but not the specifics. There are so many things in this life that we might see the outline, but we don't understand the specifics. That's why we lean not on our own understanding. But you want me to get to the heart of why these things that don't make sense, why bad things happen to good people? It's because of what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. That's when sin came into the world. That's when sickness came into the world. That's when death came into the world. That's when evil came into the world. That's why so many things don't make sense on this side. But yet we ask him, and I've asked many times, not why, but for what purpose? What are you trying to teach me, Lord? How are you trying to grow me? What can I do to help someone else who's maybe going through the same thing? Lean not on your own understanding. Then I think about what the Lord said in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. He said, "For my ways my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. But just as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." There's so many things, again, that we cannot understand fully. But one day we'll know in full, even as we are fully known. But in the meantime, we keep trusting in the Lord and leaning not on our own understanding. And last part, verse 6 says, "In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." What does that mean? Acknowledge him in all your ways. You know what I think it means? To acknowledge him with our hearts, to acknowledge him with our minds, to acknowledge him with our words, to acknowledge him with our actions, to acknowledge him in our relationships, to acknowledge him at our workplace, to acknowledge him in our schools, to acknowledge him on our teams, to acknowledge him at the gym, to acknowledge him down the street, to acknowledge him everywhere we go. We acknowledge him in every area of the life. Don't be ashamed to acknowledge God before people. The whole world should know that we are Christians by the way we live and the way we act, the way we talk, the things we do. Would you want people to know that you are a Christian by the way you're living your life right now? Or would you be embarrassed and say, "I really don't want people to know because I'm not setting a real good example"? I love what Jesus said in Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Jesus said, "Whoever acknowledges me before people, I will acknowledge them when they come before my Father in heaven. But whoever does not acknowledge me before people, I will disown before my Father in heaven." So in other words, if we're ashamed of him here, he'll be ashamed of us there. But if we acknowledge him before people here, then he will acknowledge us and welcome us. We need more Christians to be vessels, to be lighthouses, to be mouthpieces, to be servants for our Lord Jesus Christ. We need people who are willing to stand up for the cause of Christ. What about you? Are you acknowledging Him in every area of your life? Here's the great news today. If you are not, it's not too late to start. If you have life and breath, you can be forgiven today. And all you have to do is receive His mercy and His grace to say, "Dear God, I confess that I'm a sinner." The Bible says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." You can give your life to Christ today. You can have a fresh start, a new beginning. That's what Lindley's baptism was about a while ago. We are buried with Christ. The old is gone. The new has come. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. It's symbolic that when we die one day, we'll be buried, and then we rise to walk with Him in heaven. Just as Jesus died on the cross, 3 days later, He rose from the grave to show that we too have victory over sin and victory over death. Isn't that great news today? That we have that promise. The praise team led us, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." I don't know what you're going through today, but God does. You can fake people out, but you can't fake God out. He knows us to our core. And today, if you don't know Him, won't you receive this free gift of His mercy and grace? Or if you're a Christian, you know, I've never understood when I've run into people in the community, I said, "I've been missing you at church." And they've said, "Well, you know, we've just been going through a lot of stuff and really going through a rough time." And I'm like, then you need to be at church. We need Him every day, no matter what we're going through. But why do people think you got to get your act together and then come? We come as we are, and He gets us together. We don't wait. We come as we are, and He does the cleanup and gives us supernatural strength. So in a moment, you all, we're going to have an invitation where I'm going to invite you to come and give your life to Jesus. It'd be my privilege to pray with you. You're going to have an opportunity, if you're a Christian, to renew your commitment. Say, "You know what? I've been running the opposite direction, but I'm ready to run back to Him and come home." Or maybe you're looking for a church family. "I love this church. We love this church. And God has blessed us immeasurably here. And we would love for you to be a part of this family." I'm going to invite you to come in just a moment as we pray together. Father, I pray right now in the stillness of this moment, if there are young people, if there are middle-aged people, if there are older people, if there are children that have never given their heart and life to Jesus, may this be the day of salvation for someone, for many. And it already has been. I'm so excited for decisions that have already been made this morning and today. Lord, for those who are going to be making public professions of faith at the creek this afternoon, the baptism, we are so excited. But maybe, Lord, there's some folks who want to come today and make their public profession of faith. They're going to acknowledge You before people so that they won't be disowned before the Father. Lord, I pray You would give them that boldness to come. Lord, maybe there are Christians who have grown bitter, who have grown angry, who have grown resentful, have grown, Father, guilty, prideful. Oh God, bring them back to You today. Convict their hearts. And they can have a fresh start today. Oh Lord, maybe there are folks that have been looking for a church home. I say it almost weekly. This is not a perfect church. I am not a perfect pastor. But we serve a perfect God. And we would love today, Lord, to welcome new family members into this church. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus to pay the price, to pay the penalty when he died on the cross that we could not pay, that our debt has been canceled, our sins have been paid for, and now we have the promise and hope of eternal life. Thank you for paying it all. And may we do our best to pay you back by living for you, which we can never fully repay. But may we strive to live for you a holy life in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand and come as we sing a hymn of commitment. If you're in this place, it'd be my privilege to pray with you about your decision. Won't you come as we sing?
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it.
White as snow.
I am just so thrilled about these that are coming today, making decisions for Christ. First, I'm going to ask Brooks Tracy to come up. Mom and Dad, you can come with him. I've known this young man his whole life, since he was a little fella, because I did your mom and dad's wedding years ago. And I am so grateful that Brooks comes today on his public profession of faith. He just prayed to ask Jesus Christ to come into his heart to be his Lord and Savior. Brooks, this is the most important decision that any of us could ever make. It's the only one that lasts forever, and we're so proud of you. I know the angels are rejoicing and singing in heaven over your decision. I know you want to pledge your love and prayers to Brooks by letting it be known by saying amen. 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 Proud of you, buddy. Then this morning I was talking to some folks in the office, and Mark stopped by and he said, "When you got a minute, I need to talk to you. Mark, if you would come up here beside me." Mark Wells. Mark came up to me and we started talking in the foyer, and he said that he wanted to give his life to Christ and be baptized. And praise the Lord. And right out in the foyer, he prayed to receive Christ, and he wants to be baptized tonight at the creek. And Mark, man, I'm so happy for you. He said he had been working and just feeling in his spirit that the Holy Spirit was working on him. And I said, "You know where the Jones Farm is, Happy Jack Farm, to be baptized?" I think you said your land.
The land I work on is right across,
the creek from it. And anyway, he's coming tonight, and he's not real comfortable around water. And I told him that's okay, that God has never failed us yet. I've got a strong back and a weak mind. And with God's help, we're going to get you up. But praise the Lord. And I know you want to pledge your love and support and prayers to Mark, but let it be known by saying amen. Amen. Bless you, brother. You have a seat. And I'm so grateful this morning at the early service, Steve and Lana Cox joined this church. They've got a little boy, Luke, and their little girl, Lexi. So grateful to have Steve and Lana Cox to join our church family. And I'm going to ask the Tracys and Mark if you would join me out in the foyer. And I'm also going to invite Lindley, if you'll stand out with us, so you all can go by and welcome them into this family of faith. Let me share with you, I'm excited. I don't know how many we're going to have at the creek. We've got a lot. We've got a lot of adults, have some youth, we have some children. But I hope you'll join us at 5 o'clock at the back of, go down Hickman Hill Roads, go straight right into the Jones Farm, and maybe you didn't plan on it, but I'd be honored to baptize you tonight. Some of you have been waiting. We'll have a t-shirt for you. I'm wearing swim trunks and some old tennis shoes, and we'll have a great baptismal service. A couple of instructions, because there are some crops that have been planted as you're going back to the creek. We can't drive right to the creek like we've done in past times, but I'm grateful that Mike Harrod and Ralph Gouge are going to take our church buses. For those of y'all who can walk, you know, it won't be a very long walk, but if you need a shuttle to the creek, they're going to be there just parked in the main lot by Happy Jack's pumpkin patch, and they'll take you back to the creek. If you want to bring a lawn chair, we have a brief service. We'll have a couple of songs and witness these baptisms. It'll be a great night. So I hope you'll join us. If you want to be baptized, meet us between 4:30 and 4:40, and we'll do a walkthrough. Otherwise, everybody else can join us around 5 in that beautiful setting. It's going to be a great night. You know, I'm excited. If you've seen the Jesus Revolution, which told about the Jesus movement, Greg Laurie out in Southern California, they're having record numbers of baptisms right now in California. Hundreds and hundreds of people are coming to be baptized. Why can't that happen right here at Elkhorn Creek tonight? Why can't we do it? It's the same God moving. He's here and he's working. It'd be my honor to baptize you tonight. Won't you stand at this time? And I want to say a special thank you again for everyone who showed your love and support and expressions of love to Kelly and me and our family. I give God all the glory for 25 years here, for you all putting up with me. I'm grateful for past folks of faith. They were such blessings of encouragement to me as a young minister. Those of you all who still encourage me on a daily basis. I'm grateful for our deacons and our decorating committee, all their hard work in preparing a meal and setting up tables. It was a glorious night. I didn't sleep at all last night. I was so wound up. That'd be a good song. I didn't sleep at all last night. That's my Michael Scott Isaiah. But I'm so grateful that we're here and that you're here. We love you all. And we love the Lord and what he's doing. Also, one more announcement. This is our fifth Sunday benevolence offering. As you're leaving, there'll be ushers at the door. Did you know that every week, almost every day, we help support families who are struggling financially, whether it's medical bills, utilities, car repairs? Almost daily, we assist families because of your generous giving. So if you feel led as you're leaving, if you're not prepared today, you can catch us next time. But thank you all for being here and allowing the Spirit of God to be in this place. Sean, take us out with the song. Guys, if you want to come join me out in the foyer.
Let's sing this together.
Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Let's give you praise and glory and honor for these decisions that were made for you today, and Father, for others that are maybe being made in their hearts, for those who are going to be baptized at the creek tonight, we are expecting and anticipating a great move of your Spirit. And Lord, we're just giving you all the praise that you are alive and your Spirit is alive and you're transforming hearts, changing lives, that your work is moving, and we love you for it, and we thank you for it. So, Father, bless us as we go from this place, and may we strive to be holy because you are holy. We'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.